Hi everyone, I'm Alistair Willis, Music Director of the South Bend Symphony Orchestra. Welcome to a new season of Aha with Alistair podcasts. Our first Jack M. Champagne Masterworks of the season features three pieces. The U.S. premiere of Syrian-American composer Malek Jandali's Symphony No. 6, The Desert Rose, the percussion concerto by Chinese composer Shen Yi, and in the second half, the ravishing suite from the opera Der Rosenkavalier by Richard Strauss. The first two pieces are fascinating fusions of Eastern and Western music and cultures, but they couldn't be more different. Let's start with Malek Jandali. I had the pleasure of meeting Malek Jandali last year in Doha, Qatar, where I had the honor of premiering his Symphony No. 6 with the Qatar Philharmonic Orchestra. Malek's Symphony No. 6 is called The Desert Rose, inspired by one of nature's architectural creations, the sand rose or the desert rose. It takes thousands of years to form, crafted by nature out of sand, water, wind, and time, or rather millennia. The premiere took place at the magnificent National Museum of Qatar, and its architectural design is also based on the desert rose. As Malek says, the story of the Qatar National Museum and the Desert Rose deserves a symphony. And what better way than music to incorporate the richness of Qatar's history and culture, the heritage, the people, the sand dunes, the turquoise waters of the Gulf, the rhythmic patterns of the dances, the contrasts between the traditional and the contemporary, between the land music and the sea music. Malek dedicates his symphony to the people and the history of Qatar, and this music will play a crucial and important role in preserving the Qatari heritage for generations to come. Upon receiving the score, I was immediately drawn to Malek's unique, fresh musical language, how he weaves the Arabic folk elements from the past with contemporary music of today. It's full of interesting Qatari rhythms, Arabic modes or maqams, and dance music, including this arda, a dance once performed before going to war, but now danced at celebrations and weddings. Qatar has a fascinating history of diving for sea pearls, and this music that Malek incorporates into his symphony pays homage. The premiere of this symphony was an extraordinary occasion, one that I'll never forget. Qatar had been celebrating a year of culture, and this was the last concert before the opening ceremony of the FIFA World Cup, the world's biggest sporting event that Qatar was about to host. The symphony was commissioned by the chairwoman of Qatar Museums, Her Excellency Sheikha Al-Mayassa, herself a champion of the arts. The guest list was stacked with prominent Arabs and Westerners. The performance took place in the courtyard of the museum, so we were surrounded by the awe-inspiring architecture as we played. To me, Malek's music especially touched and moved the Arab contingent. I can't tell you how many came up to me afterwards saying how special it had made them feel, hearing songs that their grandparents had sung to them, now played spectacularly by a Western orchestra of non-Arab instruments. Malek's music is connective and will continue to connect us through our journey of humanity. This is a symphony for peace. And it is in this spirit that I'm delighted to bring Malek's music to South Bend. Our communities may not have grown up with the original Qatari and Arabic melodies, but we'll certainly be able to connect with the passion, the yearning and hope, the pride, the emotion, and the deep quality of this music. So on behalf of the South Bend Symphony, I invite you all to the US premiere of this piece on September the 30th. I hope that when you hear this music, you feel like I do, that we've stepped back in time, and that our view of the world has been expanded. Qatar has inspired me every time I have visited for the past 15 years, and it is extremely meaningful to me to be able to bring back to South Bend experiences that I have gleaned as a conductor on my own Silk Road journeys. The second piece on our program is the Percussion Concerto by the Chinese composer Shen Yi. I'm often asked at the end of a concert if the triangle player who played just a few notes gets paid the same as the violinist who just played thousands of notes. There's always some surprise when I answer yes, until I explain that the violinist plays one instrument, whereas the percussionist needs to be able to play not just the triangle, but the bass drum, cymbals, xylophone, marimba, tam-tams, snare drum, whistle, gong, castanets, claves, and hundreds, no, an unlimited number of other instruments and items that the composer asked them to tap, strike, or stroke. Percussionists, therefore, have to be the most versatile and virtuosic members of an orchestra. Our soloist, Joe Gramley, is the most virtuosic, musical, and passionate percussionist I have ever had the pleasure of making music with. Everything he touches, every sound he creates, has depth and beauty. Joe was a founding member of Yo-Yo Ma's Silk Road Ensemble, and I've known him for about 20 years, and on tours we've collaborated on some of the coolest global music ever composed. I couldn't be more thrilled with bringing him to South Bend to play Shen Yi's mesmerizing concerto. Joe has mastered the myriad of Chinese and Western percussion instruments which Shen Yi includes in her concerto. You could say that Shen Yi's compositional style speaks a Chinese musical language within a Western idiom, a style that was literally forced upon her as she lived through and survived the terrors of China's Cultural Revolution, which began in the 1960s. She had trained from the age of three as a pianist and violinist in the techniques of Western music, but this, of course, was now completely forbidden. During the revolution, she even spent two of her teenage years doing forced labor. And at the age of 17, she found herself leading a group of musicians playing traditional Chinese music for a local branch of the Beijing Opera. So, despite all her early training in Mozart and Beethoven, she found herself back with her Chinese roots and began fusing the two cultures in her compositions. Her percussion concerto, composed 25 years ago in 1998, is a great example of this. The concerto is in the standard Western form of three movements or sections. It's inspired by Beijing opera and incorporates several Chinese instruments like the daigu, which is a large, deep Chinese drum requiring traditional Chinese techniques to release its unique tone and timbre, the bango, which is a small, high-pitched drum, several very high piccolo Chinese and Japanese woodblocks, a Beijing opera gong, and more. She also includes Western instruments such as the vibraphone and marimba. The first movement is called The Night Deepens, named after a traditional song in the opera Farewell My Concubine, where it's used to accompany a sword dance. Here is that melody which jumps out at us after the mysterious and atmospheric opening. Here's another moment near the end of the first movement, which shows off the soloists' and the orchestra's virtuosity. The second movement is called Prelude to Water Tune, where the percussion instruments act as textures to support a spoken and sung recitation. Now, usually this recitation is performed by a singer. However, such is Joe Gramley's virtuosity that he has learned this and will perform it as he plays. And I'm told his Chinese is extraordinarily convincing. The poem is a hymn to the moon about the sorrow that comes from parting from well-loved people or places. The third movement is entitled Speedy Wind and is full of fiery explosive sounds, very typical of warlike episodes in Chinese opera. As you can sense by listening to that, the concerto is also visual. Joe will perform it on a raised platform behind the orchestra, so we'll get to see everything. And how he navigates the instruments is as impressive as how he plays them. I remember the first time we collaborated on this concerto, I came away in total awe of Joe and with a completely new appreciation for percussionists. Perhaps your response will be the same. In the second half, we'll play the suite from Richard Strauss' beloved opera, Der Rosenkavalier. I absolutely adore this opera. It is, in my opinion, some of the most glorious music ever composed. Such energy and positivity. I can't think of a more joyous opening in all opera. Der Rosenkavalier means Knight of the Rose in German. It's a comic opera set in 18th century Vienna and follows the story of Octavian, a young nobleman who's having an affair with the Marschallin, an older married woman. However, he ends up meeting the young and beautiful Sophie. Tricks and schemes unfold as Octavian and Sophie fall in love, and in the end, the Marschallin gives up Octavian so that he and Sophie can be together. The character of Octavian is sung by a mezzo-soprano, so a woman dressed in male clothing. This is known as a trouser or pants or breeches role. Another famous example of a pants roll is Mozart's Cherubino in The Marriage of Figaro. And because Octavian is the lover of the Marschallin and the suitor of Sophie, all of the opera's love music is literally sung by women. The glorious final trio is one of the highlights of the opera, and Strauss himself loved it so much he requested it to be performed at his funeral. Like the opera, the suite is dominated by the female vocal music, and it opens with the Marschallin and Octavian's Night of Passion. The music of this and other moments is so explicit that many productions, like that of the recent Metropolitan Opera in New York, often issue a content advisory. Some scenes include nudity. To be clear, that's in fully staged opera productions, not in performances of the orchestral suite by the South Bend Symphony. After the opening music sinks into calmness, we hear the tender music that accompanies the presentation of the Silver Rose in Act Two, the moment Octavian and Sophie fall in love at first sight, while the Marschallin looks on, realizing she will soon lose him. Gorgeous music. And of course, there are waltzes. Glorious waltzes. But hang on, why? Der Rosenkavalier is set in the mid-1700s, and the waltz wasn't invented or made popular in Vienna until the mid-1800s. Well, it was the librettist Hugo von Hofmannsthal who suggested to Strauss to, quote, try and think of an old-fashioned Viennese waltz, sweet and saucy, which should pervade the whole of the last act. So, Richard Strauss, in the early 20th century, pays tribute to the 19th century's golden era of the waltz with a much larger orchestra, more sumptuous and sophisticated harmonies, for an opera set in the 17th century. It's certainly anachronistic, yet it's all part of the fun, and the result is magic. Gosh, I love this. And as we can hear, the opera is extraordinarily demanding to play for any orchestra. The premiere had no less than 33 full orchestra rehearsals. That's over 100 hours. Composing it was a labor of love. Strauss worked with such enthusiasm that he even set one of Hofmannsthal's stage directions to music by mistake. If you're attending the South Bend Symphony Orchestra's performance on September the 30th, we hope you enjoy the delectable moments of ravishing beauty, moments of dizzying change of exotic modulations, heartfelt sentimentality and human compassion, and moments of joyous mayhem. It's a thrilling musical ride of love and adventure to which Strauss invites us to let ourselves go, to give in to the intense warmth and good feeling of his music. Thanks for listening.